But I'm just so excited to have my parents here. They've been in India for a long, long time. And I'm really excited about what God is doing in the ministry and in India. And Dad will talk more about that. But, yeah, be prepared.
Privileged to be here. I'm really excited they got this here because I, you know, you can see it. I feel really comfortable going like that, trying to see what's going on. I thought today and tomorrow I'll declare it a holiday. Number one, because it's Lorelei's birthday. Today and tomorrow, my wife and I are married 46 years. So I'm not only a grandfather six times over, I'm also a great-grandfather one time over. So, yeah. So that's exciting. 36 years ago, we got a call from Dauphin, Manitoba, and they had a baby. It was really neat because it was this little baby. And we drove up, and it was totally inconvenient. You know, I was in the middle of a job. I was just preparing to join the Winnipeg Police Force. And we had no money. And my customer gave me, money towards the job I was doing. God said, go get this girl. And we went. And, God gave us a beautiful gift. And the social worker was Christian. She was the only baby in the hospital. All the nurses were Christians. It was a very hot, sunny day as we drove home from Dauphin to Winnipeg. God put a cloud. I don't want to get emotional here. But anyways, Lorelei's been a great blessing. When I was in the police force, I'd work at night and she would sleep on my stomach. And she's always been a delight. When we had her in India a couple of years ago, I'm telling you, the whole spirit of the ministry just went up about 10 notches. Lorelei was happy. It's who she is. I've never seen her depressed. She doesn't know what that means. Full of joy and just stirred up the kids and everything. 43 years ago, I became a Christian, and I called out to God. And God hears the deep prayers, and I'm going to talk about prayer. I wasn't going to talk about prayer, but I like to obey the leaders because I feel God has given them the grace, anointing, to lead the church. And so I've got lots to say. Like I told Norm, I said, my wife says, Kel, you know, number one, don't embarrass me, so she never comes to my messages anymore. Number two, when you preach, just give 3 points because people will. So that's what I do. I got one sermon. I preach 3 points. This morning I've got 10 sermons, so I've got 30 points. But we're excited. And the ministry, since we've been gone, it was absolutely necessary. I feel the main reason why God brought us back, a couple of main reasons, but I'll give you the main reason, was to pray and to intercede. Because what was coming down the tube in the U.S., I would say within 3 years, missions would have been shut off from the U.S. The plans were public. If the results had been different, and I felt we were there by God, because I have the faith to believe for that, to bring in someone. And the church is the ruling force on the face of the earth. We call the shots under Jesus Christ. We do. And I loved the theology in your songs this morning, Mike. It was just fantastic. And if you could just get that, there is no condemnation. God cannot find anything to condemn you with. It's gone, man. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has joined with your spirit. And you are perfect in Christ. How? Through your performance? Are you kidding? No, through the blood of Christ, through the sacrifice of Christ, through the cross of Christ. How are you sanctified? You cannot sanctify yourself. How can you make yourself holy for God? It's not possible. God has done that through the cross, through the Holy Spirit joined to your spirit. And I'll quote the verse later on if I ever get to my message. Through the promises of God. It is not done by you. You are perfect in Him. And you stand without shame before Him. And we should be rejoicing. My wife just finished another book. It's called Shadows of Redemption. It's follows the theme of grace from Genesis through to the book of Ruth. And after she finished it, she says, I'll never write another book. And then God came with an anointing, and she's writing three books right now. And right now, my guys in Nepal, my guys in India, my main guys, I'm not there. And the ministry is multiplying. They are training these guys that I live with. Like Paul said to Timothy, he says, the things you have seen and known and realized to be true in me, you pass that on to faithful people. I live with these guys. I taught them. I taught in Bible school. I taught Karuna about 700 hours for the last 4 years, 5-6 days a week. I taught them every day. We planned together. We prayed together. They got to know me. He is my son. Paul says, Timothy, my son, he is my son. And I have discovered that that is the secret to world evangelism. You pour yourself into a few people. That's what Jesus did. And Jesus says, whatever I have poured into you, now you go. When I talk to them, and they have to hear me all the time, I'm their father. It's an immediate connection. I've tested them. I've been tough on them. I am not a sentimental slob with them. And now it's multiplying. They are training in the most difficult place in India right now. You know, it's kind of embarrassing, but Karuna, my main guy, today is speaking in a church of over 1,000 people. And on Monday he goes into key areas where we feel God has led us. It is the jugular. The jugular of Hinduism. You should be, excuse me, this is a Vineyard church. You should be pissed off at Hinduism. It has destroyed this country. When the Beatles came in the early 60s, they brought in Eastern mysticism, Buddhism, and all that kind of garbage, demonic stuff. They worship over 300 million gods. They worship the male sexual organs of Shiva. It is the most worshipped thing in India, the most worshipped thing in Thailand, the most worshipped thing in Taiwan. It is disgusting, and you wonder why all of this sexual garbage is happening. It is a spirit. When I grew up, Norm, right? Never ever did I see. My mom and dad had tons of friends. Never ever did I see anybody divorce. When we grew up in high school, nobody got pregnant. That was just not happening. There was one girl that I didn't even know her. We heard she got pregnant. We were absolutely shocked. We have brought in false gods, and God has called us by His Spirit to Orissa, India. I was in Calcutta at the Grand Oberoi Hotel, a beautiful old English hotel, and I was looking at a book on tourism, and it says that Orissa, which has 40 million people, India has 1.24 billion people, has more temples and more shrines than all of India combined. It is the stronghold of Hinduism. What is God doing around about it? You know, God is passionate. I love that song that Laura Lee sang, maybe a month and a half ago, that God's love is like a hurricane. We're not trying to get into the presence of God. Mike, He's present unto us. Hallelujah. He is present unto us. He is here closer than your breath. He is here now in us. He is present to us. Glory to God. And all that He has and all all the things in the spirit realm, they are all there. For who? You. Hallelujah. You know, when I came back here a year and about a half ago, I was 67 then, and I figured, well, Gloria's going to be laughing. You know, I'm just 67. I'm a great grandfather. And I went, and we had prayed, Karen and Norm and Jane and us guys. We had prayed for open doors, and God gave me the opportunity. I could only go there by invite. There was a group of world leaders that meet on a regular basis in Vancouver. They personally mentor the Prime Minister of Canada at that time. They were ministering in very dangerous places. They were older guys mostly. One of them was 97. And they prayed, and then they prophesied over me, and they said, "Your ministry is completely changing. God is going to release new authority over you, and you have just started your ministry." I'm telling you, since that time, everything has completely changed. And I was raised from my deathbed 37 years ago, just a year before Laura Lee came into our lives. My friend, I was dying in the St. Boniface Hospital. My wife was planning to bury me. Five specialists said, "Kel will die." That's it. We had, at that time, three little kids. And that was the reality. My friend, a mighty man of God, his name was Gord. He was in his barn, a dairy farmer. He later became a pastor of a church that we were part of starting in southern Manitoba. He had an open vision from God. And he saw Lori by my graveside. And he said, God told him, he says, "Gord, if you don't pray for Kel, he will die. I'm in a coma." And intravenous. And he prayed for me. I woke up. And I had to go pee. And the intravenous ripped out of my arm, and blood all over the wall. Lori, I was instantly healed. Lori went into shock, because she had already in her heart accepted the fact that I was going to die. And the prayer of my heart, from the depths of your heart, God always answers those prayers. He always does. Was when I came to be a Christian, God this world, has eaten me alive, and you have just got to be true. And God has answered that prayer. I don't have time to write a book. Laurie and my wife says, "Cal, you got to write a book. Maybe one day I will." But God has been faithful, and it is to His glory. It is to His glory. That is what we are here for. We are here to display. Getting back to Orissa, Candomil District was attacked in 2008. The whole world prayed. Now, the whole world praying, there's a reason why God is doing that. 1999, my friend Graham Staines and his two boys, Philip and Timothy, they were like the Mother Teresa of that part of India, were burnt to death. God spoke to his wife, said, asked her, Gladys asked, "Can I take your boys and your husband? Seriously." And she says, "They're yours." Out of that, again, the whole world prayed. But more important, well, not more important, but the door that opened was they had the opportunity to preach. Gladys, her daughter, had the opportunity to preach the gospel free of charge to all of India by magazine, newspaper, television. It was the main topic in Parliament for 2 years. Laurie and I were there when it happened. So God is focusing. 300 years ago, the start of modern missions was because of the juggernaut cult in Puri, Orissa, which is right on the Bay of Bengal, and it was because of the temple prostitution. Do you know that today, right now, 40% of the girls sold into prostitution in Delhi come from temple prostitutes? That's real. 40%. Mothers and dads sell their little girls and their little boys. They're made into transvestite, and they're used and worshipped. And that's the reality. And God has prepared spiritually the ground, and we are focusing 2,800 villages, and we're going to start with 20 villages. And God is coming through, and we have a plan. God has given us a plan. I want to tell you something, that reaching Campbell River, and you've got to stand up, guys. You've got to be powerful. You've got to stand strong in who you are in Christ. You cannot play games. This is a all-out war for Canada. Taking Canada is a grace that God has given you. What is grace? It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. You have the grace. Okay, you're going to Cambodia. You have the grace. Now, God might take, like with me, 20, 30 years to get me ready. Okay, but he's got the plan. You don't even have to worry too much about it. Just hang on. Hang on. Hang on. Right now, they believe in China, there's 100 million Christians. Before, when the Chinese took over, killed all the missionaries, there was, I don't know, maybe you know, brother, I think there was only about 4,000 Christians in China. Not very many. Candomil in Orissa is the jugular of Hinduism, and we're there. We have been given the privilege. It is a gift from God. I have the grace to do it, brothers and sisters. Not me alone. When God talks spiritual warfare, he's not talking, Cal, Mike, spiritual warfare. Yeah, we're part of it, but it's talking about all of us, okay? It's talking to the whole church. And we need to start connecting with one another. And I believe we're supposed to pray into that. I'm telling you, I find more unity in the Rotary Club than I do in the church. What's wrong with us? I just raised $50,000 through Rotary to break poverty in 13 villages in India. I've been praying for Debbie's last year nursing and also for irrigation stuff. A non-Christian, a Rotarian, just sent me the money. Hallelujah. I mean, God will do whatever he wants, but he wants to use you. I was just with a friend of mine, very famous guy, when I went to Vancouver. His name is Delbert Reimer. Reimer Express Lines. I'm telling you, they financed TWU. Trinity Western is on Reimer farmland. And they financed whole mission societies for 60 years. And it was by faith. And God poured millions and probably $1 billion through them. And God wants us. I am so excited about Karen because she's got the fire of God in her when she leads prayer. And that's where prayer changes things. Prayer changes the world. That is a quote from Kel Franson, by the way. I'm going to put some other quotes up here. Prayer in Christ changes the world. Look at Daniel. Look at Isaiah. This is going to happen in 400 years. Hallelujah. And you changed history. 2017 is the year of the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the emperor of the universe, the emperor of all the angels, the billions and billions of angels. Hallelujah. It was no accident that you saw angels, Karen. When those guys were praying for me, this 97-year-old guy who headed prayer in 100 countries, he says, I see a multitude of angels around you, Kel. I was excited because I know that there is warfare that I know nothing about and you know nothing about. You can't see it. But I knew that something was released from God. And God was behind this thing. And God was going to make sure nothing was going to stop me like Elijah. I'm not worried. Look! You got a tiny little army, and I've got this. I've got this. Hallelujah. God is real. That is what you're here to show. The glory of God. That is why you are here. Hallelujah. I want you to be rejoicing today. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross. He is Melchizedek, the high priest of God, who will never, ever, ever die. He is the eternal God. He died. The blood came out of his side. And it says he took the blood and he entered into the place made by God, heaven. And he placed the blood on the mercy seat. The veil, 6 inches wide, 20 feet tall, and X number of feet wide, 300 men to lift it into place, split from top to bottom. Do you know that in the Old Testament that there are close to 100 chapters on the tabernacle? The tabernacle that Moses built was a replica, a shadow of spiritual realities. And I want to tell you something, that on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would take the blood of a perfect animal and he would walk into the Holy of Holies and he would put the blood on the Ark of the Covenant, on the mercy seat, what was happening outside was, and God showed me this, and it was confirmed through an Old Testament professor I knew, that the tabernacle is probably at least twice as big as this building. It's not huge. My friend has built one in Hyderabad on scale, so I've seen it. But outside, the representatives of the 12 tribes of Israel would be there. They were not there because they'd been nice. It is not of law, lest anybody should boast. It is not rules. It is not nothing like that. You start living like that, you can cut off the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 3. It's got nothing to do with that. The law convicts you of sin, shows you that you need a Savior, shows you you need the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. Nothing but the blood. Your performance means absolutely nothing to God. I don't know why I'm getting hot here. Your performance means nothing. That's not what you're here for. You're here to be joined to Him. You're here to be married to Him. You are here to show what He is like. You are the temple of the living God. That's who you are. You're not there to show how great you are. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, he says, I put no confidence in myself. He says, I was the top law keeper. As of righteousness according to the law, you couldn't find any fault in me. He says, it's all done. It's all useless. It is all nothing compared to what I found in Christ. He has made you righteous. When you look in the mirror, do you see yourself as righteous? That there is zero wrong with you in your spirit? Yeah, my flesh. This is flesh. Sark, flesh. Okay? My brain is flesh. My intellect is flesh. But that's not who I am. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. You died. The you that was you died. Jesus has introduced a new creation. It is us. Not after Adam. After the second Adam, Jesus Christ. 144 times it says you are in Christ. That's where my residence is. I am in Christ. And it says your life is hidden with God in Christ in heavenly places. That's where you are. Now the tabernacle was a picture of the heavenly reality. And God would come in a cloud when Aaron would put that blood on the mercy seat. And all the people would be there because they were guilty, because they had sinned during that 1 year and they needed atonement. They needed their sin covered over. How? By more performance? No. By the blood. Nothing else. Without the shedding of blood, there is no cancellation of sin. It doesn't work. So stop trying to cancel your sin. Run to the throne of grace. Because that's where you're going to find sin. You will find mercy, as your song was talking about, in time of need. No condemnation. Dad, I need you. You know, I don't know about you, Norm, but I get really stupid sometimes. I hurt my wife 2 days ago. I refuse. Where do I go? I immediately run to Him. Sin was when Adam thought he didn't need God. Is that not correct? I pray all the time. It is a relationship with God. And I need Him all the time. And I do not ever want to ever not need Him. And I boast in my weakness. I am not the smartest guy. Gloria can tell you that, testify that before you, and the jury will be saying, guilty. But in Christ, I'm perfect, okay? And in Christ, I can do all things. And I have His life. Romans 8, and it's the conclusion of all of the teaching of the first eight books of Romans, the most important theological treatise that Paul wrote in the New Testament. There is therefore now no condemnation. Oh, I feel so bad. God doesn't love me. excuse me, go back and reread the book because you missed the whole point, okay? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How do we get into Christ Jesus? We died with him, we were raised with him, and we were seated with him in the heavenly places. That's how we got in there. No other way. By his doing, not by our doing. Stop doing. Start accepting what he has given you. Oh, brother, I need more power. Excuse me. What you need is to see what you already have. Ephesians 1:3, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's it. Oh, God, my marriage is falling apart. Excuse me, but stop fixing it yourself. Leave it alone, okay? If God says something to you, obey him and just run into there and get the grace that you need to fix that situation. I'll tell you a story. Don't tell anybody about this, okay? I was becoming very famous, okay? And you know, I felt very excited when I came to Christ, and I think ministry became a bit of a, you know, wow, you know, look at Cal, he's doing ministry. Look at him, he led somebody to the Lord. And I was a head of core area ministries for Springs, which is now the largest church in Canada. And you know, and I pastored the church, and they were inviting me into leadership. You know, I thought, you know, that the enemy is always trying to separate husband and wife. And you know what? This girl is perfect for you. This husband is perfect for you. You know, the enemy will, oh, you know, that idiot, you know, or whatever. And I'm sure you are sometimes, because I am too. But grace is bigger than sin. How do you overcome sin? Grace. By God's power. By God's wisdom. God's strength. You don't do it yourself. Come on! Leadership here. We're going to have to schedule another full day. And I might get into my sermon, okay? The grace is there. He is there. And he wants you to be dependent. Paul says, God, take this away. And he has learned something. When I'm weak, then I am strong. Because the power of God comes and the solution comes. And I am delivered from this situation. Anyways, back to my humble confession. My wife, you know, we went to grade 12 together. And I will get back to the tabernacle. My brain is unbelievable, Norman. I have just driven all over the face of the earth, and I haven't even come back to my main point. But, you know, the enemy, you know, we were doing evangelism. I was hitting core area ministry. We did street ministry. We led 1,000 Indians to the Lord. Oh, Cal, could I touch you and get your anointing? I didn't, but the people I led did. But, you know, my wife was the top of the class in grade 12, and I truly loved her because she looked really cool, eh? It was true love. I'm just starting to really appreciate her. I would never, ever want to not live with her. She just had a big miracle. We were very concerned about her sinus area. We just went to the specialist this week, and it's completely clear. It's completely clean. God has done a miracle for her. She almost died on the plane. I'm serious. She was screaming in pain with the cabin pressure flying from Japan. But I majored in snooker. Paul, I'm telling you, I have an anointing for snooker. Have you got any money? Would you like to? And we got married and rough things, and my wife came to Christ, and I came to Christ. But, you know, ministry became something I had to do for building myself up. And I just saw my wife, she had emotional needs. I didn't know what to do with it. You know, I wasn't used to that because I'm ministering, you know. And, you know, I'm famous and I'm ministering. And you know what God, what happened was my wife, like, I can't take this anymore. I'm going to leave Cal, you know, because he can't be there for me. And see, you know, we had a bit of a quarrel or whatever, and she went down into the living room to sleep. And God came on me. And I saw, God gave me a picture, and I saw my wife when she was a little girl. And there were two pictures. I saw my wife as a little girl, you know, really heavy, rambunctious, and confident. And then the next picture was a girl who was deeply in pain. I saw the eyes, and I fell on the floor, and I said, I'm sorry, God. I messed it up. My wife was the little mouse trying to be a big lion in front of me. And I saw it at strength, and it was not real. My wife was deeply wounded. And God spoke to me. He said, Kel, I do not want you to minister for 5 years. And I obeyed. And it's probably the greatest thing I've ever done was to obey that, because my wife and I are close now. And one of the most beautiful things in my wife's study is a picture, and it says rescued. And it's a guy rescuing a woman out of the ocean. And it's God and me rescuing my wife. And I had to carry my wife for 5 years. And God supernaturally healed her. He showed her that she was righteous, that she was perfect in Christ, that there was nothing wrong with her, that she was complete, and she was healed instantly. She's writing 3 books that will cover those things. And when they're ready, I'll let you know. And exactly 5 years later, India opened up to me. And you know, if I had been a pastor all those years, you know what I was doing? I started out teaching 8 hours a day. Leaders, pastors, male and female, over 200. And the 8 hours a day was too much, and I started teaching six hours a day. I'll tell you, no pastor in all of his lifetime in the 3 years that I did that will ever do as much ministry. So God, you know, when you obey God, like, he gives back a hundredfold. He gives back a hundredfold. That's what he's like. Now, getting back to the tabernacle, they're outside and they're guilty, waiting for Aaron to go into the Holy of Holies once a year only. He could go in there, and he placed the blood on the mercy seat. And the people were on their faces before God, and they were going, and the cloud of God would come down, signifying that he had accepted the sacrifice. And they would go, yeah, hallelujah. And they would shout, because now their conscience was clean before God because of the blood sacrifice for that past year. There was joy. They had relationship with God. I want to tell you that Jesus entered the place. Where is the Ark of the Covenant? What is the most important part of the tabernacle in the wilderness? Gloria, what would it be? It's the Ark of the Covenant. It is where the presence of God is. Where is the Ark? You see, 3,000 years ago, Nebuchadnezzar took the Ark. Herod's temple at the time of Jesus did not have the Ark. There was just a stone, eh? And they would sacrifice the animals or put the blood on the stone. They had a Holy of Holies, but there was no Ark. 3,000 years, Nebuchadnezzar took it to Babylon. Where is the Ark? God doesn't want the physical Ark. Because that's just a shadow. Where is the real Ark? Yeah, you're right. But the real Ark is in heaven. And if in your spare time you read Revelation 15:5, it is the Ark of the Covenant. That says the Ark was filled with smoke, which symbolizes the presence of God. And we have part of the covenant of God, and God says, I will never, ever, ever, no, never, ever, ever leave you or forsake you. I will never, ever do that. Do you know that that is covenant language? He will never leave you. Hebrews 13:5. He will never, ever, ever, ever leave you. Never. No, never, never, never. Your dad left you. Your mother left you. I will never leave you. And I will never condemn you, because the blood has cleansed your conscience. Once and for all, he has perfected us forever. Hebrews 10:12, Hebrews 10:14. Right, Norm? If I'm quoting it wrong, well, blame Norm, okay? That is us now. And I'm telling you, you run into Dad, into God. And I'll definitely not get to my sermon. Can you put on the prayer things? Do you mind? And my message was prayer with purpose, okay? I'll just give you the first part of my sermon. I'm telling you, Hindus pray like crazy. They sacrifice like crazy. They never have their sins forgiven. They never, ever have an answer to prayer, and they never connect with God. Buddhists, I led a Buddhist monk to the Lord. He had been a monk for 14 years. Never, ever had he had one prayer answered. Never, ever, ever. Why? Because, number one, there's no God. They don't believe in God. The Buddha, after he just was enlightened, was going to kill himself. And the Buddha brings the spirit of suicide. Many, many kids in the high schools and what have you in the Comox Valley where I live are killing themselves. They don't even report it anymore because there are so many. Why? It's a spirit of suicide. The Muslims, they don't have anybody that rose from the dead. They don't have any blood that forgives their sin. How do we take this grace and win our world? One way, it says that we defeat the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by the gospel that we preach, and we do not love our lives, even if it's going to cost us physical death. That's how we do it, and we need to rise up. These are some men of God. Bounds, he says, prayer is not to be considered a duty, but a privilege, a delight, connecting with God. You're not trying to get brownie points with God, okay? You come in. That's it. It's grace. It's free. Adonai Johnson says, I never prayed for anything earnestly that I did not eventually get. Karuna, who is my main leader, he really encourages me. He says, slowly God is answering all our prayers. Surely He will do it. And it's just in his spirit. And it's really encouraging to me. David Yonggi Cho, they have Prayer Mountain. I've been there. I prayed at Prayer Mountain. I've been to Yonggi Cho's church. And they are serious. They cannot do it without God. You cannot do it without God. It's not a religious thing. They swarm there. People take their holidays to go and pray. That's what they do. I crawled into a little cave, and that's where I prayed. It was really neat. And he was the head of AOG in the world. He brought it to 500 million people. He has a church of over 1 million. I've been there. His brother down the street has got a church of 350,000 people. Andras says, a man on his knees has leverage underneath a mountain which can cast it into the sea. Spurgeon says, if a man can pray, he can do anything. Why? Because God can do anything. He who knows how to overcome with God in prayer has heaven and earth at his disposal. Evan Roberts, who saw revival spread around the world through the Welsh revivals, prayer is the secret of power. About Moody, he knew and believed in the deepest depths of his soul that nothing was too hard for God, that prayer could do anything God could do. Sadhu Sundar Singh was a sadhu who came to Christ. He actually traveled to England and America. He's very, very famous. And he was very intimate with God. And that is my first point, is the first thing in prayer, the purpose of prayer is to get close to God. The first thing. Number one. Prayer is living with God in constant communion. The true spirit of prayer is living in constant fellowship with Him. He is my life. I invite Him into all the intimate details of my life, whether small or great. I don't know if you can get the other part, but as William Carey, he says, expect great things from God and attempt great things from God. He translated the Bible. He was a shoemaker from Wales. He's translated the Bible into 29 different languages. Huge story. Bound says, God shapes the world through prayer. Mueller, I live in the spirit of prayer, and the answers are always coming. I'm always in contact with God. And that's the sweet place. I loved my business. You know why I loved my business? Because God was with me. And I would always take jobs that everybody else was afraid of. And I had a secret, you know. I asked God. I took a test at our Bible school at Springs. And Pastor Wally, who was the pastor at that time, he says, no one has ever, ever gotten an A on this question. His favorite book in the Bible was Proverbs, and the question was, what is wisdom? And I cheated. I asked God. And it's okay to cheat that way. And God gave me the answer, and I got an A. I can't remember. Why are you asking me that? This is a long time ago. Andrew Murray, the man who mobilizes a church to pray, will contribute to the most of the world. If there's another one. If you want a new pastor, start praying for your present pastor. I'm telling you, start praying for Barry and Nancy. They are anointed to lead this church, and we are going to take Campbell River. Are we not? The grace of God is there. Is it not? Norm, I can't hear you. Is it not? Yes, it is. The power to do it is there. Paul says, if God is for us, no one is able to defeat us. Verse 32, he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. So with Jesus, will God surely not give you everything? Yes, he will. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, confidence that God is true to what he has said, no one can please God. Anyone who comes to God, You have to believe that He is God, that He's real, and He rewards those who truly want to find Him. This is, I tell you the truth, my Father will give you anything, Jesus, you've asked for in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy will be full. That's actually John 16. I didn't mark it down there. Anyways, I'm kind of at the end. Could you put on that other thing, and I'll just quickly go through it. My wife spent 5 years writing these books, and this book is the heart of what it's like to be one of the 20 million little kids in India that has no mom and dad, no protection. My wife does not want money for it. She does not write it for money. It totally frustrates me. It cost me $10,000 to write to. This is another book printed in India called Wolf Hunt. It is fantastic for witnessing, very encouraging, and you can have this one as well. Not a problem. And we do allow people to give to the ministry too. Not a problem. Okay. Now, I told you this story already, but there's 828,000 people in 2,800 rural villages. Now, Candomil is 25% Christian, and guess who led them to the Lord? Canadians. Over the last 100 years. That's why they were attacked. The Hindus were not happy that these people were coming to Christ. 100,000 Christians lost all of their homes. Every church, every ministry center was burnt down. And now, God says, that's enough. You know? What is the passion of God? I made these people. You know, they are mine. I don't want them to be owned by demons and devils. And that's why I came. That's God's passion. I want these people. They belong to me. Every soul is mine. And so our strategy is, because it's also possibly the poorest district in all of India, we're bringing in agricultural help, which gives us favor. And also it helps support the ministry through the church getting extra money. God has just miraculously opened the door in the first village. We want to do a prototype village. Have you got the front page of that? Okay, this is, we sent our guys there, but these are, aren't they beautiful? Cassini Padar is a little village, 120 families. That's where we want to start our center. And these older ladies in the front there, we just love them. You know why they have that? It's because the landowners would go and take girls sexually. So they did that so they would not be interested in them. So what we want to do is have churches. I'm not really snagging individuals. I need help with this, if you guys want to help. But I want churches to adopt this, each a village, and we will give a profile. Whatever you can do to help in this area, fine. But we want to give you a profile so that you're praying for this village specifically. And so Karuna is in Candomil right now, which is this area right now, and he is going to profile all the villages and do that work for us. And then we are training in three different areas, 60 or so young men and women who will be evangelists. And also we're going to train them in farm to become farm experts. Also, we're planning to do simple medical stuff. And we have nurses we're training. And I believe it's God's plan. God has a plan, okay? God has wisdom. I'll leave you with this. It's the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. In other words, you have access into the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God, how to reach Campbell River, is yours. It's a gift. You have the grace to do it. The gift. It is the gift of God, not because of anything you could do. Sorry, you can't see into the spirit realm. You do not understand, but you have the mind of Christ, and God will show you exactly what to do. We have reached whole neighborhoods. God showed us how to do that. Whole neighborhoods. First church in French Catholics in southern Manitoba, God showed me how to do. I ran completely out of my own strength. I had nothing. I was totally afraid. And God spoke to me and says, Kel, if you go out alone, I'll teach you. And then I'll teach you to teach others. And he did. And that church is now 500. But what happened, it was like a chain reaction. And many, many French Catholic towns have free evangelical churches. Pray for us for Open Doors. I just had an email this morning, a friend of mine who's a main minister in Andhra Pradesh, about 50 million people there, the main Christian leader there. He has ministry all over the world, is coming here, they're wanting to build a large hospital. Our kids go to school there, and anyways, I have to arrange a meeting. I'll send an email for prayer to Karen. Anyways, I better stop, and you guys are going to get hungry, and I will be attacked. But let's pray. The Church of Philadelphia, Jesus says, I have the key of David. What does that mean? It means that Jesus is sitting on the throne of David. Luke chapter 1, Gabriel came and says, this boy inside of your womb is going to sit on the throne of the universe. And he is saying to the church, listen, you've got a little strength. You really believe Jesus is God. How many of you have a little strength? Yeah. I'm going to open a door for you to take Campbell River. I am going to open a door for you to take Campbell River. Nobody can shut that door. And whatever is happening here, I'm going to keep you from the judgments that I'm sending on the earth. I'm going to protect you. And I'm going to be behind you. And you're going to rule with me. Father, I love this church, Lord. I love the people in this church. I speak your amazing anointing. Lord, already you're present unto them. Already you're standing there, loaded with mercy and grace, waiting for us to open our hearts. So, like Paul prayed in Ephesians 1, open our hearts to see what you have done for us, to see that we can stand before you without guilt, without shame, without condemnation, free in you. You have set us free. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from sin and from death. And you are Lord, and you are God, and you are Almighty. And Father, we just release your love and your power into this church. Thank you for this church. I pray that you would open the storerooms of heaven and pour forth a blessing and financial blessing into this church so that they can do their ministry here in Campbell River. And Father, that there would just be an oversupply, abundance. I pray that you'd send your angels to do war and to open up the spirit realm so people will flood into this church and overflow this church. Lord, we call on you. It says, ask, call, and knock, and you're going to open the doors. And so we're asking, Father, open the doors. God, the church, the people in Campbell River, they need to know you, or else they're lost, like Barry said last week, in eternal separation. It's really serious. And you have called us to bring the message so that people can enter into eternal life through Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, the blood that was shed, and through the resurrection. Because you are God, and God indeed. You've changed whole societies before, and you were able to do what you did before. So just bless this church in Jesus' name. Amen.